At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Watching the People's Republic of China, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Headline at CNBC, doing business in China? Factor in deflation. Subheads, Chinese companies are facing widespread deflation, which has left consumers uncertain about the future and hunting for value. The least of it. Gordon, what is deflation that is so fearful that it's a headline right now at CNBC?
Well, deflation is a general decrease in prices, and China is suffering it right now, as we see from the price data for August. The reason why it's so fearful, fearsome, is because when people believe that things will get cheaper in the future, they hold off purchases, and that drives an economy further down. And we're seeing that in China now. And that's why countries around the world target mild inflation so that they can get people to continue to consume. China right now is in a deflationary cycle, as we see from both consumer and producer prices.
We welcome our colleague Ann Stevenson Yang, author of a book I highly recommend to understand the scale of the success and failure and how fast they've come for the People's Republic of China. The book is Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. And a very good day to you. Is the deflationary cycle in China now the end of the story? Is there rescuing that economy? Are they moving to admit they have a problem? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. And that was a great summary from Gordon. I think the problem with China is that the levers they have are on producers. And so what they always do is they pour money into production. And the deflation you're seeing is the result of overproduction. So they just have too many things and not enough consumers.
And is that something they recognize? Are they talking about it? The leadership, I mean, the big voices.
Well, I mean, they're talking about consumption and how they want consumption to rise, but they really don't have a lot of good ideas about how to make that happen. Of course, the way to make that happen would just be to sort of take your hands off the economy, make imported goods available and cheap, and, you know, stop supplying money to the producers. But, you know, that's not what they're going to do.
Gordon, you have a question.
And we saw that last month, the producer price index was down for the 35th straight month. And that indicates what you're talking about. And that is the regime continues to pour money into production because they want to meet GDP targets. If you have a GDP target of 5%, you've got to put money into factories because infrastructure is overbuilt, property is overbuilt. When do you think they are going to get to the point where they say, well, we'll no longer have a GDP growth target and we will take our hands off the economy, as you talked about?
So I'm not sure that that can happen under CCP leadership, Gordon, because it's a key measure or it's a key means for driving targets nationally. So if you want to be managing all of these companies and all of these organizations nationally, then you have to have some kind of target because that's the way campaigns are driven. They're kind of in a straitjacket.
The word involution is used routinely now, race to the bottom competition. Is that deflation, Anne? Is that different?
Yeah, it's kind of a fancy word for deflation. It does give the sense of you sort of doubling in on yourself and, you know, the economy eating its own. It's just the sad thing is there just doesn't seem to be a way out for the Chinese economy as long as the CCP is in charge.
You were there at the beginning, Anne. Was this built in as a inevitable come down right at the beginning? Did they understand that this was to be avoided, or is this a surprise to the leadership?
Well, you know, I mean, leaders don't think about what might happen a generation later. They think about how they're going to make their own position better right now. And in the 1980s and 1990s, China really needed a lot of investment in its infrastructure and its housing stock. And people got a lot of acclaim from the public and from the bureaucracy for doing that. So, of course, they did it. You know, they've been on a sugar high for 20 years.
It always reminds me of the Mickey Mouse cartoon, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, when he learns to give a magic spell that creates the ability for the mop and the pail to work on their own, but they keep reproducing. Is that an analogy that makes sense for China? They couldn't stop the pail from reproducing?
That's a great analogy. And I'm sure that you've heard about the paperclip thought experiment, where someone tells a computer to make as many paperclips as possible. And the computer, not being able to balance other goals, just mines the universe for metal to make paperclips and kills humanity by drowning them in paperclips.
Gordon, did the leadership understand it as recently as 2012 that they were headed to this inevitable end with their subsidies?
I think in 2012, they were more concerned about making sure that they stayed out of a recession. I mean, they had embarked on perhaps the biggest stimulus program in history in 2009, and they were still in the middle of that. So, no, they weren't thinking about deflation then.
So Xi took over with this in train, and he did nothing to stop it.
Well, that's right, because he was meeting those GDP growth targets that we were just talking about.
I mean, to be fair to Gordon, he tried at the very, very beginning, but the economy absolutely tanked, and so did the stock market. So they just poured stimulus into it. And in the end, who knows what Xi's personal calculation was, but presumably he decided better to be on top than to be, good for the economy.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, I noticed that we see continual increases in retail sales as reported by the National Bureau of Statistics, the official reports. And last month, I forget, but something like 3.4% maybe. But also last month, we saw CPI fall 0.4%. And we've seen the CPI be negative like about 5 of the last 8 months of this year. How do we reconcile those two general trends, retail sales going up and the CPI either flat or negative?
You know, Gordon, I consider retail sales to be the least reliable of all the statistics. They really have a very disaggregated base to collect this information from, and all the bureaucracies have targets to meet. So what they do is they'll have, for example, a numeric level of retail sales. So spending on hats was 2 million renminbi last month. So and that includes 10 companies. So if those 10 companies drop their sales of hats, then they'll include another company which formerly was excluded. And then they'll get, 12 million renminbi, and they'll claim this increase. So I really just don't pay a lot of attention to that.
And what we have here, we have less than a minute. What we have is a deflationary cycle that continues, right? You don't pick a bottom when you're in deflation. You ride it down. Are they prepared? Are they tucking in the walls now and raising the drawbridges, knowing that there's worse ahead?
I mean, John, to overcome this, you would need a radically different strategy. And instead, the strategy is, well, maybe we're not investing in the correct sectors, so let's invest over here instead. It's just not going to work. So, yes, this will continue.
Yes, gentlemen, you stop digging the hole is the advice from the United States. Ann Stephenson Yang, she's the author of The Prescient, almost as if it was a book written for a novel, not the history of the wild ride, short-lived Chinese miracle. Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.